Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Going Higher, Going Deeper.
The first scripture lesson is Psalm 61 and may be found on the Pew Bible on page 457. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the end of the earth I call to you, when my heart is faint. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you are my refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. Let me abide in your tent forever. Find refuge under the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. Prolong the life of the king. May his years endure to all generations. May he be enthroned forever before God. Appoint steadfast love and faithfulness to watch over him. So I will always sing praises to your name, and I pay my vows day after day.
And our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, beginning at the 7th verse. Again, let's listen to God's word to us. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and his sons and his flocks who drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never again be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and then come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And the woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming," it was called the Christ, "and when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He can't be the Messiah, can he?" And they left the city and were on their way to him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for this, your word to us, and would pray now that your word might shape and inform and inspire my words, and that my words might be useful to help shape and inform and inspire this people to follow after you. For it is through Christ our Lord we pray it. Amen. The woman in our story this morning came to the well that day looking for water. But immediately Jesus realized she was seeking something much deeper still. This is one of the longest and I think most fascinating conversations in all of the Gospels. And curiously, it is one that never should have taken place at all. Jesus was traveling from Judea in the southern part of the country, trying to go to Galilee in the northern part of the country, and John tells us he had to go through Samaria, that he had to go through Samaria. Why? Because Samaria was between Judea and Galilee, and that's the shortest route home, perhaps. Or perhaps it's because he was on a divine mission. Samaria, we know, was a forbidden territory for any self-respecting Jew, stemming from centuries of enmity. The residents of Samaria, the Samaritans, while distant cousins of the Jews, were considered outcasts and lowlifes and half-breeds and heretics of the faith. John tells us in this lesson that the hour is noon when Jesus and his disciples arrive at Jacob's well. And John is also very quick to show us Jesus' humanity here. Says he was hungry and tired and thirsty, and so he sends the 12 into the city to buy food, which leaves him alone to have a conversation with a woman he meets there. Strike one. No Jewish man would ever be found alone with another woman who was not his wife. And strike two, she is a Samaritan woman. Given that no self-respecting Jew would ever pass through Samaria, much less they would never be found visiting with a Samaritan. Even the disciples were surprised, John tells us, when they return from their shopping spree and see this woman visiting with Jesus. They don't dare ask, who is she? And what's she doing here? And then just to keep the story moving a bit for us, it turns out this Samaritan woman has a past. The reason she's at the well at the noontime hour, the heat of the day, is because that was the only time she really could go to the well. I mean, drawing water out of the well was work normally done early in the morning or late in the evening in the cool of the day when other women would be at the well as well and they could have conversation together. But not this woman. She wasn't invited to those conversations. In fact, she was the topic of those kinds of conversations. We're soon to learn in the story that this woman has been married 5 times and the man she's living with now is not her husband. Strike three. Except, of course, if you're Jesus. This story gives us a beautiful insight to Jesus' character. It gives us good comfort that whoever we are, or wherever we've been, or whatever we've done, Jesus seems to disregard all of that. All of us have a past, as this woman had a past. But Jesus came to give us a new future. Apparently, this woman is the very reason Jesus had to go through Samaria. He came seeking her, just as he comes seeking us. So long as we imagine that it is we who have to look for God, writes Simon Tugwell, then we must often lose heart. But it is the other way about. It is God who is seeking us. These two very unlikely companions fall into a conversation first about water, but very quickly it's evident that they have no idea what the other is talking about. Or at least the woman has no idea what Jesus is talking about when he offers her living water. She's thinking he's thinking well water, when in fact he's thinking about a well. Not of stagnant water, but of a stream that flows up and gushes out into eternal life. Their conversation sounds very much like a conversation that John records for us just one chapter earlier. Do you remember the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus the Pharisee? Jesus is talking about being born again. Jesus is talking about spiritual new birth, but Nicodemus can't get past this impossible thought of how am I supposed to get again into my mother's womb? I was a bystander to one of those kinds of conversations just recently. I was standing in line at Starbucks behind a gentleman who was ordering his drink. Now, I frequent the same Starbucks with great regularity, so I know all of the baristas, and I know most of their backstories. All of them know me as a pastor. In fact, you know how they write your name, John or Sue or Alice on the card, on the cup? For me, they write PJ, Pastor John. So that's my nickname at this Starbucks. So as I'm standing there, I know that all of the baristas, most of them are very active in their own churches, and many of them are actively involved in ministry at their churches, including this barista who was serving the gentleman standing in front of me. So as the gentleman began to pay, he was instructed to take his credit card and put it into the card reader and then to just wait a moment. Well, several seconds passed, and the barista said, "Okay, you can remove your card now. You've been approved." The man looked at him and said, "I've been approved?" And the barista said, "Well, yes, at least for today, you've been approved." And the man said, "Wouldn't it be great if you could be approved every day for your whole life?" And at this, the barista looked over the man's shoulders and caught my eye and smiled and leaned towards the fellow and said, "You know, I could lead you in that way if you'd like to talk about it." The man took his credit card, stuck it in his wallet, said, "Thanks for the drink," and walked off. I mean, these two gentlemen were deeply engaged in a conversation on two very different levels. I mean, this woman was talking about water that she had to pull up from the ground, just the way her ancestors had for centuries. Jesus was talking about living water that would usher into eternal life. She was talking about ancestors, religious practices, and he's talking about the possibility of her own living faith. She's talking about the need to worship God in this particular place, and he's talking about an opportunity for God to meet us wherever and whenever we are. Like this woman, I believe that we too are searching. Perhaps some of us desperately searching for what we think we want, but not necessarily for what we need to quench our thirst. We seek to sate ourselves by drinking deeply of an assortment of the waters that the world offers to us, only to find out that we have to keep coming back to the same well over and over again because nothing really satisfies. We try new experiences, we try new relationships, we try new addictions. We try to go deep within ourselves. We try the newest, latest, greatest spiritual fad. And all of us are parched, either desperate or despondent, without realizing it's not a what we are searching for, but a who. No matter what we choose other than Jesus Christ, we will always have to go back to the same well over and over again to get more of that same water that simply does not satisfy us. But Jesus, in this story, directs her to a new source of living water, life-giving water. He points her to her bucket in her hand and says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Now, admittedly, this woman had no idea what Jesus was talking about, but she knew she wanted what he had to offer. And I think we do as well. I think that's why we are here week in and week out. We want what Jesus and Jesus alone can offer to us. Jesus is leading her into an encounter with God by saying the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He is revealing to this Samaritan woman, to this heretic of the faith, the full revelation of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Son who is known as the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The woman says, In effect, I'm ready to receive this one. I will know Messiah when he comes. He will instruct us in these things. And Jesus says, I am he. Pastor Don Mumaw refers to this as the story about the woman who came for water and went home with the well. Don't you love that? So what of us? Don't we see ourselves in this story? The way this woman explains her condition to Jesus, she, like we, seek a deeper, closer, greater faith and relationship with God. And that then becomes the first of our three-legged stool in our vision renewal statement. The very first desire we heard from you as we sat down to work on this vision for TAB's future is a desire for greater faith. We believe that each one of us, believer or seeker, all desire a greater faith, a closer relationship with God. And so we commit ourselves to that end. Let me quote from the statement. Quote, TAB will be a resource for kingdom seekers who want to increase their connection to God, to provide opportunities for individual and congregational growth, and to support those opportunities with biblical teaching, with worship and prayer. It will prepare his people to be more Christ-like through applied knowledge and engaged learning that results in a continually deepening faith and a foundation for serving God in the world. That's our desire. And so it is our collective commitment to see if we can satisfy that desire by leading us into a deeper relationship with Christ. So if you were trying to find a friend who lived once in Nashville, Tennessee, where might you go to see if you could find him? Nashville, Tennessee, right? Okay, quick check here. How many of you immediately thought the internet? Yep, I knew it. Okay, if you want to know something about a new subject that you're studying, that you want to know everything you can about it, what would you do? Well, you'd start reading, you'd start studying, you'd do everything you could just to learn more, right? And if you had questions about what you were learning, you'd seek out experts in the field, people who had firsthand knowledge about what you're learning and studying. Perhaps you'd even seek out the author of the text you're reading. So what if you're seeking a greater faith today? What might you do? Well, it would make sense, I believe, to start looking where God has said he will show up, in church, in worship. For here we learn and hear what God says to us. We open our hearts to his presence. Perhaps you'd start by reading books about him. And better yet, not just about him, but books that were written and inspired by him, speaking through people who knew him really well. If God is speaking through his word, then it only makes sense that we would be reading that word, listening to that word. It would also make sense that we would want to speak with people and seek out people who know him, ask questions of them, ask them to tell us about their experiences. If there is something that you see in someone that you want for yourself, it only makes sense that we would say, help me discover it for myself. And perhaps what makes most sense of all in all of this is if you're seeking a greater faith or a deeper relationship with God, you might just try talking to him. We call it prayer. And it can begin as simply as this. Hey, God, it's me. And I want to get to know you better. Friends, believe me when I tell you, you really don't need to say much more than that because he already knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows where you've been and what you've done, what you've been up to. And even if it's been a long, long time, he'll be really glad to have that conversation with you. He knew everything about this woman at the well, and he welcomed her still. Friends, I believe that we all come thirsty, parched, seeking, and Jesus meets us right where we are. He meets us in the most unlikely places at the most unlikely times. When the Samaritan woman first met Jesus, she saw him only as a thirsty man. Then she came to know him as a Jewish man. And then as they kept talking, she realized he was a rabbi. More than a rabbi, he was a prophet. Even more than a prophet. That he is the Messiah of God. Some have said that verse 10 in our lesson today is the second shortest explanation of the gospel that we are given. The first shortest being John 3:16. Here Jesus says to the woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Friends, that day she accepted his gracious offer. And so may we who are also thirsty do the same today. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, by your invitation we come. And honestly, Lord, we don't even know it's you who is inviting us. We come with our own seeking, our own searching, thinking it's all up to us. We come because we're hungry and we're thirsty. And we realize that every other food, every other drink we've tasted simply does not satisfy. Until we come to you, and you welcome us, and you feed us, and you fill us. And you do that not just for today, not just for tomorrow, not just for a lifetime, but for an eternity. Thank you, Lord. So help us now to carry on the conversation with you, now and always. Lord, hear our prayer. Now, let me tell you how this story ends. You know, the Samaritan woman goes back to her village. We're told in this lesson that she leaves her jar at the well. She runs and tells all of her friends and family about she's met the Messiah. She tells in her own words of her own experience. And they come and meet Jesus. And many of them come to faith. But they say, we're not believing just because of what she said. We've come and met the Savior of the world ourselves. Friends, today we are the ones who come to the well. And now we go out and we become part of that gushing stream of life-giving water. And we're instructed to tell a world about the life-giver of that water. We're the ones who came to the water and end up going home with the well. And so go and be the people God's called you to be. Be a witness to the living water in a parched and thirsty world. And the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, be with you all this day and forevermore. Amen and amen. Go in his peace.